We're going to continue our study. We've been going through a unit of study concerning women of faith. And when we look at the women of the Bible, especially these that we are talking about, our lessons don't only apply towards women, they can apply towards all of us. There are different things about their lives that we can glean from and learn from and can even apply into our very lives. And today, we're going to be looking at devoted to Jesus Christ, or we're going to be looking at Mary Magdalene today. Mary Magdalene, Mary, however you want to say it. But Mary Magdalene was a person that was devoted to Jesus Christ. And there is no doubt about it. We'll see it as we go through our study. Her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ was from the beginning that she was born again, all the way even to the resurrection of Jesus. You see her devotion to Jesus. Her faith in the Lord did not waver, even when it got very tough. I mean, especially during the time of the crucifixion, his death. Her devotion was displayed even without remembering that Jesus would rise from the dead. And so being devoted is pretty much our lesson today. And we're going to see it through the life of Mary Magdalene. Thank God for those that are devoted. Amen? We need to be devoted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In many ways, devotion is a beautiful characteristic, a beautiful thing that every one of us can carry in our lives with the Lord, towards our spouse, towards friends, family, devotion. And so today again is devoted to Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene. Our central truth, and you can notice I changed the slide a little bit different, nothing wrong with a little bit of change once in a while, right?
For a moment I thought I was going to be like a genius, I was watching all these letters.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of little transition changes. Just change it up a little bit. But the central truth today is devotion to Jesus Christ is necessary for transformation and spiritual growth. And there is no doubt about it. Without having devotion to our Lord, devotion in our spiritual lives, we will not be transformed. We will not grow spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean one isn't saved. When you were born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're saved, washed in the blood, and your eternal destiny is at home with Jesus Christ. Amen? You will make it to heaven. We're not talking about salvation or losing one's salvation. What we're talking about here in regards to devotion being necessary for transformation and spiritual growth is this, is that it's impossible to grow spiritually in the Lord, to become mature, a giant of the faith, without devotion. It's really impossible. Devotion is something that we must display towards the Lord in that we are committed to following Him, committed to seeking after Him, to praying, to studying the Word, to growing and doing what the Lord is telling us to do. But as we are devoted to the Lord and we're following after Him, as we'll see in the life of Mary Magdalene, there will be transformation in our lives and there will be spiritual growth. However, we can choose to just stay in the status quo. Amen? Now, we're talking about, we can be, pew warmers. We can stay warming up the pews, but not really growing or making advancement in the Lord. But that decision is ours. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? But transformation and growth in the Lord is going to take dedication and devotion on our part. And that's the point that we're making here. Devotion to Jesus Christ is necessary for transformation and spiritual growth. How many of you want to grow in the Lord and be transformed? Well, it's going to take devotion. It's going to take being connected. It's going to take, Lord, I'm not going to grow weary in doing well. I'm not going to get tired of growing to church. I'm going to keep on plugging in, even when it seems like you're on a plateau spiritually. You know, sometimes you can seem like you're growing and everything is going well. You ever been there? And then all of a sudden it seems like you're like increasing in the Lord and all of a sudden you just reach a plateau. And so everything seems mundane. It seems like, oh, church is church and got to pray, you know, but it's just not as exciting maybe as it once was. You can sometimes reach a plateau spiritually, but you won't always stay there. You keep on being devoted to the Lord. And the different scenes of your spiritual growth will change. The landscape of your spiritual life is not just a straight line. There will be valleys, there will be mountaintops, there will be experiences in the Lord. Amen? But you're not going to be on cloud nine every day of your spiritual life. And sometimes there are some Christians that can promote a spiritual walk with the Lord as if you're always just on cloud nine. It seems like if you're not hearing from the Lord, or if you're not on that mountaintop experience, then something's wrong with you, or you're lacking faith or something. But that's just not being real. But the reality is that the Lord is with us 24/7, through the thick, through the thin, through the good, through the bad. Amen? And there's going to be times and seasons where you feel so close and near to God, and other times when you're just walking by faith. Amen. But devotion is something that we can have towards the Lord, that whether good or bad, we're going to be committed to the Lord. Amen. Our key verse today. Oops. Yeah, there it is. Got to get those things move kind of slow. There we go. The key verse today is in Mark. And it's Mark 16:9, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 9. And does anybody want to read it? You can read it in your Bible or up here on the slide.
When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons.
This is a powerful statement. That when Jesus rose that first day of the week, that was a Sunday morning, that was Easter Sunday, right? What we celebrate Easter. Easter's coming in a few weeks. On that morning, Jesus rose early that first day of the week, and he appeared first to her, to Mary Magdalene. Now, let me just say something here real quick about Mary Magdalene. Now, it says clearly, before her born-again experience, she was possessed by seven demons. Now, that shows that there was definitely satanic influence in her life, this demonic control. We can only imagine what her life was like before. The Bible doesn't really clarify or tell us what her life was like, does it? It doesn't tell us her backstory, but we do know that there were seven demons that were cast out. But what happened is this: there were some people that would even complain or say, why would you even give her any time? Or, but remember, Jesus made a statement. He says, those that are forgiven much, love much. Amen? This change that she had experienced birthed out of her life a desire to want to be wherever Jesus was. Wherever Jesus went in his ministry, you'll find that there was a group of women, and she was one of those in the group that ministered to Jesus. She gave her financial support to Jesus, along with other women. I'm sure she was there in the kitchen cooking food for Jesus. Amen? But her devotion to the Lord was on display. And it was on display because she had experienced such a deliverance that she had a desire to follow him no matter where he went. And our devotion must be the same. That we need to go wherever he goes. But listen to this. Her devotion to the Lord was also on display here in that Jesus appeared first to her. Now, it's not like he went and found her and appeared to her. Keep that in mind. Her devotion to Jesus was so great that she was looking for him there in that garden, wasn't she? She was looking for him there in the tomb area. And so when you think about it, her devotion towards him was on display in that she was looking for him. She wanted to be wherever he was, if you will. And devotion to the Lord will even bring forth a revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives. If we want Jesus to reveal himself to us, or we want Jesus to make himself known to us, then we must be devoted to him. Amen? We must be determined to know him and draw near to him, and he will make himself known. Mary Magdalene is a beautiful, beautiful portrait of devotion. And that's how we must be with the Lord as well. Now, Mary Magdalene was actually from the town of Magdala, and that's why she's called Mary Magdalene. Amen? Because she was from that town, so she was there, was located on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. She, along with those other women, supported Jesus and his ministry. And from the point that she was saved, she walked with him. She is traditionally known for having her life completely transformed by Christ from one of depravity to one of complete devotion. Now imagine, depravity with seven demons, there's no doubt about it, right? This woman was as far away from the Lord as you can think. But when she met Jesus, she was changed from that person of depravity to devotion. Now, Mary Magdalene, as we will see, was very devoted to Jesus. And so let's get into this study today. Now, most Christians and most of us here are very much acquainted with the story of Paul. We know how Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. We see Paul's devotion to the Lord, don't we? We know the Apostle Paul's story very well. Yet Mary Magdalene's story is a very similar transformation. Paul was one that was against the church and was feeling like he was doing the work of the Lord in persecuting the church. But then the Lord got a hold of his life and his life was changed forevermore. God would use the life of the Apostle Paul to write more than half of the New Testament. But Mary Magdalene is similar. She was away from the Lord, but her encounter with Jesus and that deliverance from demonic power brought forth in her life the display of devotion that is similar to the devotion of Paul. Now remember, Paul was devoted to Jesus too, wasn't he? I mean, he was there. I mean, it didn't matter if it was shipwreck, being persecuted, stoned, being left for dead at times. I mean, this guy was devoted. It didn't matter until the very end of his life. That's why he even ultimately gave his life for the gospel. His devotion, the same as here with Mary Magdalene. And it's always inspiring to see these individuals. Now, what we learn from Mary's story are two things. Number one is that there is a transforming power of Jesus. Jesus can change a person's life. Amen. We can look at some people in this world or acquaintances that we even know and we can wonder, God, can you really change that person's life? And we can say, looking through the Bible and the stories of people like this, yes, Jesus can change a person's life. People that are controlled by certain kinds of things, be it drugs or alcohol or worldly things, Jesus is able to transform their lives. Secondly, what we see is that Mary had a profound commitment to Jesus, as well that she was rewarded for her commitment in the fact that Jesus revealed himself to her first after the resurrection. Amen? And so let's look at her life. Faithful ministry to Jesus. Faithful ministry to Jesus. First, she was delivered and devoted. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Does anybody want to read those three verses? Luke 8, 1 through 3.
After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured from evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Joseph, the manager of Herod's household, and Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means.
These verses begin to reveal a group of women that were devoted to Jesus. These ladies, and thank God for ladies, amen? Thank God for the women of the church. Thank God for their devotion to Jesus Christ and to the church. We have many of those in this congregation, amen? Praise the Lord for everyone, obviously, but especially for the ladies. But what we can see here is that there was a group of these women that followed Jesus and ministered to him in every city. It says there in chapter 8, verse 1, and he went throughout every city and village, preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And with him were the 12. Now, obviously, we know that the 12 disciples went with him everywhere, right? The 12 apostles, they were with him here and there. But it also includes these ladies. It says, with him were the 12 and some women who had been delivered or healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary was one of them, who was delivered of 7 demons. And then Joanna, who's the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. And then Susanna, and many others who supported him with their possessions. Now here's a couple of things to think about, is that Jesus had done a great work in these women. Amen? Now, he had done a great work in the life of the disciples, the 12 apostles as well. I mean, there's no doubt about that. When Jesus called to them, they left everything to follow him. But these women had experienced deliverance, whether it was from sickness, infirmities, or even being delivered from evil spirits. Those three ladies are named, but the scripture says that there were many others. These followed Jesus in devotion, and it's beautiful to see that. Now, they helped to support Jesus and the 12. Obviously, it wasn't just Jesus only. They were a group that they were helping to support. They were ministering together, proclaiming the kingdom of God. They were preaching the gospel wherever they went, and so they helped to support them, giving of their possessions, the scripture says. But there is no doubt that there's the inclusion of financial resources. Many believe that one of these women, especially the Joanna one, it says that she was Herod's steward, many believe that they were very wealthy. And they helped to support the ministry of Jesus Christ in all that they did. I'm sure that they were preparing food. I'm sure that whenever they had to stay at a particular place, they helped to get the beds ready, right? I'm sure that they were financially supporting the ministry. You know, sometimes, you know, we know that Jesus was not necessarily traveling around with a bunch of money per se. We do know that who's the one that betrayed him? Judas. Judas, we know, carried the bag, right? He carried the financial money. He was like the treasurer, if you will. He carried the bag of money. But there were these women also that helped to support. So it's whenever they went particular places, these women were there to help in the ministry, which is beautiful. Now, these women, it's believed, had a degree of wealth. Joanna's husband, Chuza, served as a steward, or some say as an administrator, of King Herod. And thus, because of his position in King Herod's whatever he did, that he had a degree of financial wealth. And Joanna was the one that would help financially along with the rest of the ladies. Now, it's reasonable to conclude that they also contributed to the mission of Jesus and the disciples. And now we have, of course, Mary Magdalene. She's the one that 3 demons were cast out of her. And upon her deliverance, she became one of his most dedicated or devoted followers. And that's how we begin to look at our lives. What's so important about her devotion? Well, what we can learn from her devotion to the Lord is how we can be devoted the same. Jesus wants to do so much in every one of our lives. He wants to make himself and show himself strong in our lives. He wants to do miracles. He wants to do the impossible. He wants to move in your whatever situation you need him to move into. He wants to make himself known. But we must draw near to him and be devoted to him just like she was. Amen? But she was faithful to the end in the second part there. Let's look at Mark 15. We'll be moving around the Gospels here today. Some of the Gospel accounts include more than other of the Gospel accounts. But Mark chapter 15, she was faithful to the end. Mark 15 Verse 37 through 47, and I'll read this part if you don't mind. It says this: "But Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom. And when the centurion stood facing him, saw that he had cried and gave up the spirit, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" There were also women. Can you guess who's in that group, right? "There were also women looking on from a distance, among who were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. They also had followed him and had ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem were there." And so there were these women that were devoted. Verse 42, "When the evening had come, because it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable member of the council, who also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly to Pilate and requested the body of Jesus. Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and calling the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for a while. And when he had learned about it from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. And so he brought fine linen, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid." In this section of scripture, we find Mary Magdalene along with Mary the mother of James the Less. This was not James and John, it was another James. There was a few Jameses in the group. But this Mary, along with Salome was the mother of James and John. And so there was, John and James were brothers. You all remember James and John, right? They were brothers. You all remember Jesus called to them and they left the ship to follow Jesus, right? But the mother ended up being one of the faithful devotees of Jesus. I like that, don't you? You all remember it was her that one time went and asked Jesus a question and said, "Lord, would you grant that my sons sit with you in your kingdom, one on your right hand and one on your left?" Right? So she was devoted to Jesus. She was traveling with him as well as the rest. But of course, Mary Magdalene is with them. And the Bible says that when they saw the crucifixion, they were there, these devoted women. And what's interesting is that there was only one of the disciples with them. The rest of them had taken off. Y'all remember that? Peter said, "No way, Lord. I'm ready to die with you. I'm not going to go and deny you. No way." Right? And of course he said, by the time the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me, or rooster crows, you'll deny me three times, right? And what's interesting is that they all abandoned Jesus. The only one that was there at the cross was John. Y'all remember Jesus spoke to him from the cross. And so, but John, who was alone, and the rest had flown, they had taken off. Even though the rest had taken off and only one disciple or one apostle was there, what's interesting is you have a group of devoted women. What's interesting about their devotion is that it gave them the boldness to stay there even when everybody else ran away. When your walk with the Lord is close and you are near to Him and you are intimate with the Lord like these women were, it doesn't matter what comes their way or will come your way, your devotion will remain steadfast. It won't be wishy-washy. And what's beautiful is that they had held on, or they were holding on to their hope in Jesus and were even paying attention to everything that was going on, so much so that the scripture at the latter part there says that Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where they laid him. They took note of where the tomb was, and they were the ones that would probably tell Peter and James and the rest of them where Jesus was buried, right? Because of their own devotion to the Lord. Now John was there too, and he would tell them as well. But their devotion, even though watching in anguish, even though watching Jesus die, they were devoted to Him. Amen. They remain steadfast. And this group of women, even after his death, stayed there to see him and to know where he was laid. Now, let's continue on here. Jesus appears to Mary. First, there's a dilemma in service. And the dilemma is, it's not major, but it is in, on the one hand. They're on their way to the tomb that Sunday morning. And as they're on their way there, they begin to contemplate in their minds, there's a huge stone covering this tomb. How are we going to move it? Right? We need people to help us out. So that's their dilemma. Let's look at it in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Anybody want to read those verses? I mean Mark 16, 1 through 4. I don't know if I said Matthew, but Mark 16, 1 through 4.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they may go to the anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away.
Now what we see here is that there is a dilemma for them. These ladies are going to anoint the body of Jesus. This was one of the customs of the Jews. They used to do it prior to burial. But when Jesus was taken down from off the cross and wrapped in that linen cloth, they weren't really able to do all, or finish, if you will, all of the different spices and the embalming that they would do. They would kind of do, not exactly like the Egyptian, you know, where they would embalm the Egyptian bodies and put them in the tombs or whatever. They would do the same thing. They'd wrap them, they'd anoint it with oils and different spicy fragrances and stuff like that so that the smell of death wouldn't be so strong. But they weren't able to finish, they weren't able to accomplish all that they desired on that Friday after being taken off the cross, put into the tomb, because the Sabbath was right on the verge of coming. Now, obviously, on a Sabbath day, they didn't do any work. So legally or under the law, they weren't allowed to do or finish what they wanted to do. So they're coming to anoint the body of Jesus early on Sunday morning. Now remember, Sunday is technically the first day of the week. The Sabbath is Saturday. I remember when I first got saved, I had that revelation, you know, realizing that the Sabbath day is actually Saturday and not Sunday, you know, being a young Catholic boy. And it would say, you know, about the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. And I was always taught so much that Sunday was the Sabbath, and learning that the Sabbath was Saturday was a shock to me. Anyways, that's beside the point. As they were there going early Sunday morning to anoint the body of Jesus, they began to contemplate in their mind, this rock that's covering the tomb is very heavy. Who's going to move it for us? And so their dilemma is, how are we going to get this accomplished? How are we going to anoint the body? But what happens is, they go to the tomb and find that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. And so even though there was a dilemma, God had already, or I should say Jesus had already come out of that tomb. Amen? That Sunday morning, resurrection Sunday morning, was a beautiful sight. And now they end up at the tomb and find out he's not there. Now, this is an interesting scenario, because now they're going to begin to question, well, what happened? And so let's move forward and see this astonishing encounter and what happened, verses 5 through 9. Anybody want to read verses 5 through 9?
And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons.
Now in this portion, what we find is that they have an encounter there. They look inside the tomb. And when they look inside the tomb, they see what it says here is that it was like a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white robe. And they were frightened. And it's interesting how the gospel writers wrote this account. On one account, it says there was two angels. But this one was here speaking. So one spoke to them, the other was there. And then when we get that from the different accounts of this story. But the way that Mark writes it, it says a young man was sitting there, but that young man wasn't truly a human being, but was an angel that was speaking to the ladies. And so they are, of course, frightened. They don't know what to say, and I'm sure we would have all been the same if it was us, right? All of a sudden you see an angel there telling you he's not here, he's risen. And so they don't know what to think. And he says, don't be frightened. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? And so I'm sure they look and see the spot where he was laid. But he says, go your way. And what happens here is that this angel commissions them. Commissions these ladies as preachers of the gospel. They're the first preachers, really. The first ones to declare the good news of Jesus and the resurrection. Amen? And so he tells them, go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. Therefore, there you will see him as he told you. And so they went out from the tomb. They were trembling and amazed. And they didn't say anything to anyone. But when they came, or Mary must have, they must have ran. You can only imagine the story. The ladies are going back to where the disciples are, and it says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary, out of whom he had cast seven demons. But now we'll go forward to see clarification of this encounter with Mary and Jesus. Now they left quickly, and you can only imagine how fast they left to be ready to go and tell the Peter and the rest of them, look, we just saw an angel in the tomb. And that angel told us to tell you that Jesus is going to meet us there in Galilee. And so there's an excitement, there's an amazement, even some confusion, I'm sure, as far as what's going on. But they're ready to go and tell people about Jesus. And so, moving right along, let me get this one up here. There's a conversation with the risen Lord. There's Mary's grief first. Turn to the Gospel of John now. John chapter 20. And we can see here clarification as to this encounter between Jesus and Mary. It says he appeared first to her, but John fills in the gaps. He kind of fills in more of the detail as to this encounter. First, we see Mary's grief in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. I'll read this part. It says, but Mary stood outside at the tomb weeping. As she wept and stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And so what I like about this is that Mary's heart is broken. Remember, she's devoted to the Lord. He's gone. Where is he? Where is he gone? Where have they taken him? And so she stoops and looks into the tomb, and they say to her, why are you weeping? And she says, because they've taken him away, and I don't know where he is. And she's heartbroken and weeping. So then Jesus asks her the same thing, right? She's standing outside of the tomb, probably still weeping. Who knows what kind of weeping this is? It's probably pretty intense, don't you think? It's obvious. It's an obvious kind of weeping. I mean, the angels have already said, why are you weeping? Jesus is now asking her the same. And he says, who are you looking for? And so, first she's told, don't be afraid. But what's interesting is that her devotion is that she is there. So after that encounter, the ladies had taken off to tell Peter and John, and then they ran to the tomb ahead of Mary. You all remember when Peter and John raced to the tomb, right? Peter and John were running, and John outran Peter. Remember, John was younger. John had youth energy on his side, and so he outran Peter. They looked in the tomb, saw he wasn't there, and left. But then Mary came back to the tomb. And it's when Mary came back and looked in, she saw these two angels again because she's weeping. They've told her, what's wrong? Why are you weeping? And of course, now Jesus has told her the same. Now she assumes him to be the gardener because the grief was so hard upon her. She's probably not even seen clearly because of tears. And so she didn't even expect to see him alive. But her devotion to the Lord was seen by Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus didn't have to make himself known to her. He didn't have to reveal himself to her here. Peter and John had already ran to the tomb and left, but Jesus didn't show himself to them. But Mary is weeping, and so she sees two angels, and they say, why are you weeping? And then Jesus now is speaking to her. It doesn't matter how many, or you know, what kind of things that breaks your heart. Listen to me. God knows what hurts you. He sees your pain. And there are times when we need Jesus to minister to our hearts in a very specific way, and her need was great here. Peter and John didn't need the revelation just yet. He would reveal himself to Peter. He would reveal himself to all the disciples. I mean, so it's not like he's favoring one over the other, but he saw her broken heart. He saw her tears. I remember Catherine Kuhlman had a vision one time. And in the vision, she saw three ladies in the vision. And all three of them were on their knees and bent over, and they were weeping before the Lord. They were in many ways like Mary was here. Tears coming down their eyes, they're heartbroken, they're burdened. And in the vision, all three ladies are there weeping. And in the vision, what she saw Jesus come to these three ladies. He came to the first one, and he touched her on the shoulder, and he picked her up, and he hugged her with a big old hug. And she was comforted. And then the second one, he went over and just put his hand on her shoulder and nudged her and comforted her with his hands on her shoulder. And then the third one, he went to her and he looked down at her and smiled. He didn't touch her. He didn't embrace her. He smiled. And when Catherine Kuhlman, or after she had the vision, she asked the Lord, what does this mean? Why did you embrace the one? Why did you only just kind of reassure the other with the touch on the back? And why didn't you embrace the third one but only smile? And the Lord spoke to her and said, the needs of each of those were different, and their depth and in their walk with me was also different. The first one needed my embrace. She needed that complete reassurance. The second one was more mature in the Lord, had walked with the Lord a lot more, and so, but she still needed a little bit more reassurance. So he comforted her by rubbing her back, or, you know, reassuring her on her back. And then the third one was stronger and even more mature, and all she had to do was smile. Mary is here at the altar, at the tomb, and she is weeping and she's heartbroken. Where have they taken him? And the scripture says that Jesus spoke to her and said, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And so she's heartbroken. I mean, it's hard. You can only imagine what she's feeling. And it says that she supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will take him away. But then Mary was given a message. Amen. Look at John chapter 20, verses 16 through 18. Somebody want to read those verses? John 20, verses 16 through 18.
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Can you imagine the grief, how it was turned to joy? She's there weeping. He said to her, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she thinks he's the gardener and says, "Can you just, if you've taken him somewhere, tell me so that we will, so I can do whatever, put him away or whatever, take care of him." But all of a sudden he says that one word, he calls out her name, right? Mary. He says to her, "Mary." And what's beautiful about that is that she recognized his voice immediately. She was so devoted to Jesus. She had been with him. She had helped serve him. She had been there to support him throughout his ministry, through Galilee and through wherever they went along with these other women. She was there so much that she heard him teaching. She heard him talk. She heard him in conversation. She heard him preach. She heard everything about Jesus. She knew his voice. And she was so devoted to him that she was well aware of his voice. And I'm sure that she had heard him call to her many times before. Whenever they were together and maybe they needed a spoon, even though they didn't have, maybe, I don't know if they had spoons and stuff like that back then, but needed a spoon for the food, right? "Mary, can you give me a spoon?" or whatever. They ministered to him and the disciples, and so she was well aware of his voice. And so he says to her, "Mary," and she recognized his voice immediately. She knew the Master's voice. And this devotion to the Lord made her very much acquainted and aware of his voice. And what's beautiful about this is that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and know my voice." He said, if it's a voice of a stranger, they will not follow that stranger. "But my sheep hear my voice," he said. And so she responds and says, "Rabboni," or "Rabboni," or however, which means master or teacher. And so she just falls down at his feet and she gets him by his legs and embraces him and doesn't want to let him go. She is so happy, so amazed that Jesus is there, alive, not dead. And so she's there holding him. I can only imagine, instead of being tears of pain and sorrow, now they're tears of joy. I'm sure she's trying to say things to Jesus, but she probably can't even talk because she's so happy and crying at the same time. Amen? And so Jesus responds, and it says that he tells her, "Stop holding me. Stop holding on to me." I remember when I first used to read this, it didn't make sense. But when you understand the Greek, what happened was she embraced his legs and was holding him so much that it wasn't just for 1 second or two, but she was clung onto him, just weeping and didn't want to let him go. She was so happy to have him there. And so he had to tell her, "Stop holding me. Stop holding on to me. For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go and tell my brothers," or "go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You know what's amazing? His statement there shows you and me are standing in Christ Jesus. He says, "My Father and your Father, my God and your God." It's an amazing statement. We are in Christ and he has brought us into a level of relationship with our Father that it's not just Jesus and the Father, but it's us and the Father in that same relationship. And so he tells her, go tell them. Go tell them. And the Bible says that Mary Magdalene came in verse 18 and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. She was holding on. He's telling her, you have to let me go. I still got to do a few things. He actually, after the resurrection, stayed here on the earth for 40 days before he actually ascended into heaven. Now, does that mean he didn't go to the Father immediately? You know, what a person can do in a resurrected body is well beyond our imagination. But she's there holding him. He's saying, let me go. And of course, we know Jesus appeared in the room when people were gathered together and disappeared, right? That's a resurrected body. And so the ability to go places in a resurrected body is well beyond our comprehension now. But he told her, go. And so she also became a proclaimer of the gospel. We see that story in Mark, but now we see it in John. He said, go and tell them that I am going to meet them there, but I'm going. I'm ascending to my Father. Go tell them. And of course, she was very much willing to do so. She was the first preacher of this new order, the gospel order. Her message was simple. Jesus is alive. Amen. That's our message, really. Our message is good news, is that we have a Savior who's not dead, but is alive. That he can do the impossible, that he can do things and move in situations that we need him to. And so when we look at this arena of devotion that we see on display in Mary, we can learn a lot from that as well. It's not a surprise that it's the women that are showing a lot of devotion like this. You know, it's actually in the psyche of a woman. It's inbred in women to be more devoted than men. Think about it. Women are a lot more devoted than men are. Now, I'm not saying that or putting down or belittling men. Don't misunderstand. But there is a difference between men and women. And women show devotion in a greater way, usually, than men. Now, that doesn't mean that us men can't be devoted to Jesus. Don't misunderstand. But even in the way that women are, as women, they're more devoted. They tend to be more devoted. I remember someone was illustrating it by saying, have you ever seen or looked at a big concert and you see people that are following a particular movie star or musician, and you look at the audience of those people, who do you see more of? Do you see more men or do you see more women? You tend to see more women. Why? Because when they choose to devote themselves to someone or something, they're more devoted and stick to being more devoted than men. You all see that? Now, what does that mean for us then? Because I'm a man, right? Does that mean? No. When we look at the Bible, we see that men are also on display as being very devoted, as we see in the life of Paul, the rest of the disciples, right? They all gave their lives for the gospel. And so devotion is also a part of us being the bride of Christ. Devotion should be on display in both men and women. But it's no wonder that it's women that are on display here showing that element of devotion in this way. Mary was devoted to Jesus, and she was devoted from the time of her salvation experience to the very end. Jesus knew her well. He saw her pain and comforted her in her pain. And when we're devoted to the Lord, we will develop an ear to his voice. But let me tell you something. He also has an ear towards your voice. And he sees your need and he wants to minister to you. And our devotion to him will make that reality even more of a reality in our lives and our spiritual experience. Amen? And so, just like Mary was, we need to be a people that will be devoted to the Lord. In this world that we live in, there are attractions, there are distractions all around us. But we must be intentional in our devotion to the Lord. We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to stay devoted. Amen. And as we remain devoted to Him, we will be able to make a difference in our world. And you know what? When we're devoted, we won't feel like He's so far away. Amen? Because we'll know He's there with us no matter what. Praise the Lord. And so Mary Magdalene is a beautiful story of devotion. And you know what? We all can be just like Mary in our devotion to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much, Lord, for what we've learned from the story of Mary Magdalene. We thank You, Lord, for the devotion that was on display in her life. Lord, she chose to be devoted. Lord, she chose to follow Him. Lord, You didn't force her to do it. You didn't hold her as a slave. But Lord, she willingly and willfully followed after You, as well as the rest of these women. And so I pray, Lord, that You would help us, like Mary, to be devoted like she was, to follow after You. Lord, when it's good, when it's bad, when, Lord, it almost seems like we can't go all the way through, that, Lord, as we hold on to You, You will bring us through. And so we thank You for this lesson today. Use it, Lord. Use it to speak to our hearts even throughout the week. And, Lord, we thank You for that truth of devotion. Help us to be devoted. And so we ask that You would use this word in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that You'd be with us through the remainder of the service. We ask that You would bless, Lord God, every part. And as we move forward, we just ask for Your presence to be here in a very real and special way. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Go ahead and go around.